to join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we have talked a lot about singleness, and we are continuing to talk about that today. Right. In all our conversation, it still leaves us with, I would say, one lingering question. And it is, how are we to endure when it can be so hard? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of singles out there who have listened to this and who probably are going, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but it's still difficult. How do I endure?
Yeah.
And I think we really want to answer that question today, or at least give direction on how that question can be somewhat resolved. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, there's always going to be that tension. But so today we want to talk about singleness and how to endure. And it's not going to be easy. We don't want to pretend it's going to be easy. We don't want to sugarcoat it. We don't want to give this pie-in-the-sky idea that's going to somehow make it better.
I think when we come to a close, we'll show that we realize that it's not a pat answer.
Right.
But there are some biblical things we can pursue.
So kind of what's going to guide us through the conversation today, we're going to talk about singles have to endure the perceptions, I should say, of singleness. Singles have to, which we talked a little bit about, by mm-hmm. the way, in right. regards to the previous episodes. Singles have to endure the uncertainty of singleness. You know, one thing comes to my mind, I mean, we didn't even talk about this, but it just comes to my mind right now is, you know, especially women, that uncertainty of having to have to take care of themselves mm-hmm. and not having a provider. Singles have to endure the loneliness of singles. That is a very true fact. And then singles have to endure the temptation of singleness. So, jumping in here, before we do, I think we have to realize Paul told Timothy to endure mm-hmm. as a good soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy was probably single, at least we think he was, at that time. Yeah. We don't know if he ever got married. But
he was a young man.
He was a young man. So
awfully young for the responsibility he had.
So I think it's safe to say that the Bible does speak to these things.
Mm-hmm.
So singles have to endure the perceptions of singleness. What do we mean by that?
Well, many of the perceptions, plural, can be boiled down to one perception that I hear from singles, and you and I have talked about, and that is this perception that relegates singles to lifelong adolescence.
Right. It's interesting. We do that both culturally speaking, and I think we do that by default because somehow it's better to be married.
Right.
And Paul says it is good to be married. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but he says it's even better that you're single like me, though.
Yeah, we also talked about the perception that singles are somehow less spiritual and not as mature. And so there's just this general outlook or view from people that can come and that says you're not grown up yet. If you were grown up, you'd be married. That's probably changing in the culture somewhat because there's not an expectation to get married much anymore. I mean, you can live with somebody. There's a recent commercial I watched when I'm watching ball games, and it basically foregoes the whole marriage thing.
Right.
It said just move in together. And but in the church where the home, a husband-wife situation is considered biblical and right and God-given.
And somewhat better.
Yeah. And there can be this perception, these perceptions, especially this particular perception, that someone who stays single over a period, people just kind of, it's almost a default attitude people have towards singleness.
Well, and I think one of the singles that we reached out to give some feedback on this before we started into this series, their thing is that often, and this happened to be a single woman, that often people will go to a less spiritually mature married woman for counsel than mm-hmm. they would for a more mm-hmm. spiritually mature single woman.
Right.
So I think there's some unhealthy things that need to be dealt with in the church. And we've talked about that, but I think for the perspective of the single is, you're going to have, I mean, that's why Paul says, don't give anybody reason, telling Timothy, to despise your youth.
Right.
In the same sense, don't give anyone any reason to despise your singleness.
Right.
You know, be single for the glory of God. So I think you're going to have to endure some of that.
Yeah.
Because you can't change other people's perceptions. You have to live what you want to be the change, you know.
I think that's right. You have to mold the change you want, and you have to pursue it. But if you think about Christ and the cross, it says Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. And Christ endured the cross.
It was not easy.
There are some things that we, in our particular situation, must
culturally
endure,
speaking,
endure. Yeah, must endure biblically. So,
Even if it's an unbiblical thing in the church and a wrong perspective in the church, sometimes you have to endure that.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Right. Dump the people of God? Hopefully not. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so singles have to endure that perception. It's a very much a living reality. Mm-hmm. Now, on the flip side, we should talk to people who are not single, who are in the church, that may be listening right now. Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Yeah, and we can spend a little more time on that.
We're going to do that. Yeah. So okay, number two, singles have to endure uncertainty in singleness.
Yeah, you know, all of us face uncertainties. So, but I think there are some that stand out when we're talking about the Christian single. One is the uncertainty of one's place. What's my place? Pam and I talked about this some in the last few days, and we recalled how that, and she recalled in particular how that when she was a single, they had college and career. Mm-hmm. That was what in Baptist and evangelical, especially Baptist circles we were in, they had a class called college and career. Well, now you have a college group, and if you're not in college, you don't belong, you're a different kind of a single.
Right.
And it's sort of that whole thing.
We created sub-tiers.
Like, I mean, even in our church, and this is not necessarily being critical, it's an observation, we have a luncheon for college people, but once you get out of college, you don't fit in that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that illustrates some of the uncertainty for a single. Where do I fit? What's my place? You know, when I go to a, you know, I wouldn't go to a conference for couples, but when I go to a class for couples, and we'll talk about this some again at another time, just this whole thing that puts singles in sort of a subset, which I've mentioned before. And we'll probably
so there's uncertainty before. In their place in the world, if you will, the world of Christendom.
And one's place in the church,
Right.
And then there's uncertainty regarding one's future. Well, there's the whole question, am I going to get married? I mean, this is where I'm going to be.
And I think for women, that's a little bit more difficult than men.
It probably
for
is.
For a Christian woman, because we teach strongly women are to be submissive, they are to be follow the leadership of their husbands, and primarily the husband is to be the provider of the home and the spiritual leader. So now what? You know, now you say you're on your own, you're not really at your parents anymore, and you may get, you know, advice and wisdom and guidance from them to a degree, but you're still an adult who's lives on her own.
Well,
you know?
And again, a single I spoke with mentioned this regarding education. Do you pursue an education? If you do, you can come out of education with $200,000 or $300,000 in debt.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, then you get married. Oh, now you got married with $200,000 or $300,000 in debt. Well, there are options for degrees that don't cost as much, but that's some of the mix, some of the uncertainty. You know, I may have to support myself.
Right.
It's something to think about.
I think each one's situation is going to be different, so to lay like a cookie cutter deal on it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think community is important, and why older, wiser, maybe even, look for other older singles maybe that might be in your midst.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them how they've been through this before, if you happen to have that. Or obviously your pastors and your people like that, share your heart. Hopefully you have someone who can listen and help you, because they know your situation.
Right.
And I think that's important, is don't reject that community that you need.
Yeah, and then that brings us to the uncertainty of one's importance in the body of Christ. Do I really matter here? Maybe I just need to stand on the sidelines, get my little group of friends here or whatever, or find a group of friends from another church, because I don't seem to have an important place. I don't seem to be important to the body here. Again, you mentioned we've got to model what we want to see, and that's where singles are going to have to say, I'm going to matter by Jesus, by the mercies of God. Not because I matter, but because I'm a part of the body of Christ. I am in Christ. I'm going to make sure I invest in the body.
Right. Okay, so we've got these uncertainties, and I think the solutions to these will be made clear as we get to the end here. The next thing is singles have to endure the loneliness of singleness. That's just an obvious thing.
It is. It's probably the most obvious, and that's it. It's there for a couple of reasons. One is just the loneliness of being unattached.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christian singles, by nature, most of the time want to have that significant other, that husband or that wife, and they don't. So, I mean, you get to be 25, Now, you ever get close to 30, you know, and we have friends who are in that boat and older, you know, and there's a loneliness that comes from not having that person that's your companion, your significant other.
Well, and I think one of the scary, or maybe I should say one of the tendencies that needs to be warned against is the tendency to just date so that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And so you
tend to... And we mentioned that earlier, yeah.
Well, you tend to... let your guard down, or even your convictions.
Mm-hmm.
So anything will go because you're getting tired. You can't find the right thing,
right.
if you will.
And you're lonely. Yeah.
And obviously this is not a talk about how to date and what's the biblical way to date. We did a whole series on that. You can go back and listen to that.
Right.
but I think
we even
just,
mentioned that some in this series here.
But I think just in general, there has to be this understanding that you don't want to be so consumed with that loneliness that you give in.
Yes, that you let down your barriers.
Well, I think we also have to see this as a trial. It truly is a trial.
It
now,
is.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute, but we don't want that trial to become a temptation.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to see this as a God's means of developing us into mm-hmm. Christ-likeness,
right.
as if, you know, you lost
right.
your husband, or if you had cancer, or if
right.
you, all these things that we call trials that we tell people to trust the Lord in, it's the same thing.
It's the same need.
Right.
Different expression. Also, there is the loneliness that comes from being underappreciated, and that some of that comes from the things we talked about earlier. You mentioned the single who said that sometimes people will go to
right.
a less mature married woman rather than come to a more mature single woman simply because she's married, and they have this perception that she's more mature. That there's this being underappreciated,
mm-hmm.
And not feeling that you're needed, that you matter. You know, and we said that earlier, not important. And so this can create loneliness.
Right.
I know that it was a struggle for me when I went from being a pastor to not being a pastor. My focus ministerially, my focus in the body of Christ was being the pastor, the spiritual
right.
shepherd. That changed for me, and there was some loneliness. Then there is some loneliness that goes with that. But if we're a single, you know, it's not where you want it to be. You're not in that position you really wish would happen, and it's easy to feel underappreciated.
Okay, so finally we have here, singles have to endure the temptations of singleness. I've kind of touched on that a little bit, but what do we mean by that? And I think we mean more than just sexual.
Yeah, because we talked about
that.
And that's the one that gets the most attention, understandably, because it is the, not mean to, no pun intended, the hot button issue, but...
Right.
You know, there are a couple of things that tend to happen. One is self-pity, the other is cynicism. Self-pity comes because, no, you know, people don't understand me,
right.
I'm not appreciated, well, I have something to add, nobody seems to notice. You get these things rolling, these things you're enduring, they can become a source of trial and temptation, both. They are a trial, they can become a temptation. If you look at James used the same word for both things. A trial is what God brings to us to teach us and grow us. A temptation is what Satan does when he uses that trial or something else in our life to draw us away from Christ.
So you're referring to James 1, right?
Right,
yeah.
James 1, I'm sorry. So there's this self-pity that can build, and sometimes it's a little more sinister and less noticeable by us than sexual temptation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes that's fairly obvious. But this is another thing that creeps upon us. Discouragement then comes because we just, it seems right. I mean, we're not wrong about what we're saying. And so therefore we can become full of self-pity, and that can destroy our spiritual growth.
Well, and I think the cynicism comes sometimes after you've been single for a while. So maybe you've had a few broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a girl, you've had a few guys that are just downright deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
If you're a guy, you've had some girls that have just totally ripped the rug out from underneath you,
yeah.
and they've led you along, and it could be the same for a girl too. I'm just giving examples
exactly.
here.
Yeah.
But the longer that happens, the more cynical I think you're apt to become. And I think the older you get in your singleness, the more apt you are to become cynical. And you have to guard against that.
Yeah.
That is giving into temptation as opposed to seeing it as a trial which is to be endured.
And the tendency is, that there was the old McDonald's commercial, you deserve a break today. I hear it all the time. You need to get the sleep you deserve. Get this pillow, you know. So I deserve something better. Well, none of us deserve anything better, you know, and so that we have to watch that. Anything
on the other side of grace is more than we deserve. Yeah.
So I think all of this leads us now to say, well, what do I do? And maybe some people know, and maybe some people just need to be reminded, but how do I address these things?
Right.
What's the solution? And I think some of the scene in James chapter 1 and other places, you mentioned Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy about enduring hardness as a soldier. He was talking to a young man, but the concept is true for women, young women as well. Titus, Paul talked to Titus about the importance of being sober-minded or serious-minded. There's something powerful about being serious-minded, being of sound mind, as Paul told Timothy. And so we need to set our affections on the things that matter, or things above. We need to have a sound mind, a sober mind. And then he talks to Titus about sound speech. Watch how you talk. Watch your words. When we guard our mind, we guard our words, those work together to lead us to think and act in terms that are more biblically Christian.
I remember, because it wasn't that long ago again,
right.
being single, and I remember going back to the cynical or cynicism that can happen and creep in. I remember catching myself saying things and going, that was pretty cynical. And I can only attribute that to the Holy Spirit working in my heart and realizing I have to guard against that. And so you have to guard your words. You have to guard your heart, to just as you would if you were married. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The battle of the heart doesn't change no matter if you're married or single. It's just going to be different.
The little nuances of it
change.
But it's the same battle. And I think we can maybe close with the example of Christ. I often think of this in terms of bitterness toward rejection and toward persecution. But it can be true for any trial. Jesus absorbed the pain of suffering. Instead of rejecting it and becoming cynical about it, he did ask that the cup pass from him.
Yeah, do you think he really wanted to have the nails nailed in his hand?
Yeah,
who wants
to suffer for the sins of the whole world?
Right.
But he finally embraced, but not my will, but yours be done. He embraced it. We have to absorb the pain of whatever our trial is. And absorbing it means that we look at it as something, we receive it as something God-given and what God has for us. In singleness, same thing. Encourage our single brothers and sisters, you know, stay true to Christ. Look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame of it, but he sat down to the right hand of the Father. Let's encourage our single brothers and sisters to endure temptation, endure hardness, to endure these things as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
And as we said, be the change you want to see.
Yeah.
Go on the offensive in this sense. Don't give offense.
Don't be offensive.
Yeah, don't be offensive. but go on the offense and don't just stand by and let it be.
Yeah.
And do what you can to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, so we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.